Hey, great to see everybody this morning. Welcome to Rhema Bible Church, as we've said already. Of course, I'm not Pastor Hagen. You know, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are pastors to graduates all over the world. Recently, we had one of our pastors went home to be with the Lord in Ridgely, Tennessee, kind of really unexpectedly. And so they are on their way there to minister to the family, to the church, at the funeral, memorial service tomorrow. And so let's be in prayer for them as they go and do that. And so thank God for this opportunity, and it's always an honor to stand here before Rhema Bible Church. I've had the opportunity to preach all over the world. This is still my favorite. I heard Pastor say it, and I realize it now. It's still my favorite place to ever preach is right here. To you all, glory to God. I preach some of the same sermons that I preach here to other people, and they just look at me. But here, you guys, I mean, there's something about the hookup of faith that's here that is awesome. Praise the Lord. Welcome everybody that's watching us various means around the world, wherever you are, whatever time of day it is where you are, and whatever day it is where you are, we're glad that you're with us. And just join right in. Grab your Bible. We're going to have a good time in the Word of the Lord. How many of you love the Word of God? Amen. In it, we find the answers to life. In it, we find everything that we have need of. Praise the Lord. I want us to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Communion Sunday, as you can see here. The title of my message today is In Remembrance of Me. And it's what Jesus said here. We're going to talk about one thing that I think is very vital that we keep in remembrance in life. But let's start here in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, Jesus has accomplished all the plan of redemption accomplished in all that Jesus has done through his miraculous birth, his sinless life, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension and seating at the right hand of God. Jesus has accomplished it. He gave us this, the cup that represents his blood and the bread that represents his body, to do in remembrance of what he has accomplished. In remembrance of what his blood did, in remembrance of what his body did, what he accomplished through that. Another way to say what God accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ in the plan of redemption that redeemed us out of darkness and brought us into the light, glory to God, that took us from death to life, that removed from within us the sin nature and put within us the nature of Almighty God. We have the divine nature, and we're to be a partaker of that divine nature. And so we are to call to remembrance every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. Look at the book of Philemon, if you would, this morning. Philemon. Now, Philemon only has one chapter there, but we do say Philemon chapter 1 as we're talking about this. And we're going to look at verse 6. I'm reading from the King James Bible. You might notice I take these and thous out when I do that. Highly against my will and ever in my dreams in life, I was a youth pastor for 3 years. I told everybody when I was a student here at Rhema 40 years ago, 40 years probably right on, and at this time I was telling people, I'll never work with youth. I'll never work with youth. Boy, just a few short months. In June of 1984, guess who was the youth pastor? I was the youth leader. I would never call myself the youth pastor. But I found this out, that those teenagers don't speak King James English. And I like my King James Bible, so I just started taking the these and thous out. So don't go to any Bible store and try to buy this Bible. You can't find it. But I'm not taking away from it. Look at verse 6 here. He says, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now notice here. The communication of your faith becomes effectual. How's that going to happen? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That to me is saying the same thing, by the remembrance. Now, we're not talking about this type of remembering. Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, I remember now. We're talking about something that stays in the forefront of your thinking. It is always in your remembrance, if you will. It's always in the forefront of our thinking, these things. And he said, every good thing that is in us, in Christ Jesus. And I think so much of the time, a lot of folks are looking for something out here. They're looking for something over here. I'm going to run and thank God for Holy Ghost meetings and meet. You know, we have them here. Praise the Lord. And they're great times to come together. But you know, we don't have Winter Bible Seminar every week, do we? What are you going to do when you're home by yourself? You've got to call to remembrance all the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. And not just when you don't feel good. You know, it's not a time to remember that by Jesus' stripes you're healed. Oh, yeah, when I have a symptom. That's something you ought to be keeping in your remembrance every day. All of these things. By the acknowledging of it. By the remembrance of it. There's three key words there. He says the communication of your faith. Communication there, if you look it up, just to kind of help us with words so we get a little bit better understanding, maybe by looking at these synonyms, it helps us to get a broader view. It means partnership, the fellowship. I like this one, the participation of your faith. How many of you know faith is a participation plan? This last week we had meetings with our international directors of our campuses around the world here, down in the RMA. And one of the couples was talking about they had gone through a situation, and they talked about how that they had reached out to ones to help. And they said this, that faith is a team sport. I like that. Faith is a team sport. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I'm gonna believe God, I gotta hunker down, I gotta go somewhere, I gotta find a cave somewhere, and I gotta believe God. But you know, James said, confess your faults one to another, pray ye one for another that you might be healed. Now, I realize sometimes, I'm not calling anybody this, but I know sometimes it feels like you're casting pearls before swine when you tell some Christians what you're dealing with. No, but you ought to have a company of Christians, amen, a company that you can go through, that you can go to with anything. And they're going to participate in faith with you. Then he says the effectual. Effectual means active. How many of you want the power of God active in your life? It does. It also means powerful. But he said that your faith would become active. That it would become powerful by the acknowledging. Now this word here is what we're kind of centering up on. Recognition. Recognizing all the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. Having full discernment and precise and correct knowledge. Listen to the Amplified Classic Version, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition, and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. Now, don't leave that part out, the identification with Christ Jesus. And the King James says, in Christ Jesus. Don't leave that part out. Oh, you know, I've got good things. I heard people say, you got good things in you. Well, if you're in Christ, you do. But you don't have good things just because, you know. I hear people say, well, I just believe there's good in everybody. Well, if they're not in Christ, probably might have some natural good things. But we're talking about a different level of good things here. A different class of good things. Things that come from God. Acknowledging those things that God has made us. Glory to God. So let's look at John 10:10 today. So I'm gonna read Pastor Craig's favorite scripture. And then later I'm gonna read my favorite scripture. Some of you will know what it is when we get there, but John 10:10, because this is important. Here's what it is. He said, we're calling to remembrance the good things that are in us. Here's the one thing I want to center up on today. The life of God is in us. We need to acknowledge the life of God in us. We need to acknowledge it's working in us on a consistent basis. I mean, every day, your mind ought to take you to the life of God. It ought to remind you of that. John 10:10, because here's, let me read in the King James. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amplified Classic, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until, I like this, until it overflows. How many of you like that one? I like that, till it overflows. Then finally, the New Living says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, I want to make a shocking statement here, but give me time to explain it. Jesus did not come so you could go to heaven. Jesus came to put the life of God back in us. Because that's the residual is, we go to heaven, we have eternal life. But we don't have eternal life once we get there. The Bible says we have it now. Now we have eternal life. Now we are the sons and daughters of God. Jesus came to put the life of God back in man, which was in man originally. This abundant life here is the Zoe life of God. We could say it this way, it's the life the way God lives it. I like that. The word abundant here, it carries with it the idea, and I don't know who I heard say this first, but if you do some study on it, you find that it's so true. It means this, abundant life is superior in quality. It's a rich, satisfying life. According to the New Living. And then abundant also means it's super abundant in quantity. It's to the full. Till it overflows. Now, just a side note here. Notice this. If it kills, steals, and destroys, it's not of God. That's the work of the devil. I preached a sermon one time, and I named it The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It was a message on divine healing and health, but God's good. The devil's bad, and sickness and disease is an ugly part of bad. We know that doesn't come from God. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians believe that God's the one that made him sick. God's the one that did this, you know. God's the one that did that. And if you're not careful, you know, we can, if we don't watch ourselves, we can kind of get to where we believe. We kind of teach that way. Yes, we should live right. Yes, we should live righteously. Yes, we should live holy. Yes, we should tithe, because tithing is not Old Testament. Tithing was before the law ever came into existence. Some people get all... How many of you are following the faith of Abraham? Amen. Is he the father of our faith? Well, he's the first one that we see that actually the way he tithes. So if you're going to follow Abraham's faith. Amen. But to teach that if you don't tithe, God's going to blow up your dishwasher. Which for you, how many of you, that's you? You are the dishwasher. Right? For a lot of years, you know. That was us. Or God, you know, your car is going to break down and all because you don't tithe. You know, all these horrible things are going to happen to you. Our brother Hagin say this one time. He says, you can't teach the curse in the New Testament. Because we're blessed. And the laws concerning the tithe were there given to those in Israel to regulate the tithe. Abraham, out of his faith, out of his love for God, gave a tithe to God. I don't tithe because I'm afraid that, you know, I'm paying off some mafia boss. I do it because I love God. Amen. Now the blessings are, woo, boy. How many of you like that window of heaven opening? And so much you can't contain it. I'm getting there. I still got a little bit more room in my container. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Good job on the cough switch, by the way. Genesis chapter 2. James, who's back there? Hey, Spencer back there. Let's look at God's original plan. While you're turning back there, I'm going to get a bigger drink of water here. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So notice here, God made the body of the first man there, made that body out of the dirt, out of the ground, out of the, one translation actually says, out of the mud. I had heard a youth pastor, when we got a youth pastor, came into that church I was talking about, that first church we were at for 9 years, and he preached one Sunday night at a service there for the our Sunday night service, and he talked about, you know, we were made out of the dirt, and he said, what are you doing with your dirt bag? That was the name of his sermon. Because basically God made a bag of dirt was his idea. But notice that body had nothing to it until God breathed into it the breath of life. God literally, think about when you breathe out into something, what's in you comes out. God literally breathed out what is in him, which is life, he is life, into that body, and man became a living soul. So think about it this way. Our bodies are designed to, first of all, be a container of the life of God. Because our spirit dwells. Man also, God put the spirit in man. And the Bible says that all spirit comes from God. So we're designed, this body is designed here and there to be a container of the life of God. It's also designed to be a responder to the life of God. It contains the life because this is where our spirit dwells. We're talking about spiritual life here. It's in us, and our bodies contain it, but yet also this body is meant to respond to that life. We have every indication there would have been no death had man not disobeyed God. Why? Because he's full of that life. And I think this is Tad's opinion, okay? So we can wait till we get to heaven. Jesus tell you I was right about this. But I'm convinced that man was so clothed and full of that light that it came to the outside. They didn't know they were naked because they just had that life of God in them and around them. Some people call it the glory of God. But God's life on the inside of us. And so that's why this is God's original plan. Same chapter, look at verses 16 and 17, if you would please. What happened here? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Now we do know this over in chapter 3, of course they ate. We do know this, they didn't physically, their body didn't cease to function at that time, did it? But did they die? Well, absolutely. God said they died. What happened? They lost that divine connection to the life of God. All right? And when you're separated from the source of life, that's what we call spiritual death. Death doesn't usually, in the Bible, death doesn't mean cease to exist. It means separation from. So here, they became separated from that life the day that they ate. They were separated from the life of God. Turn over to the book of Ephesians now, Ephesians chapter 2. So Jesus came that we might have life. What life? That same life that God breathed into man there when he created man. Excuse me. Ephesians 2, I'm going to read verse 1 in the New Living Translation here. Ephesians 2 and 1. Remember, we said this is being separated from life. This is spiritual death. It says here, once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. Well, think about it. If we take death the way most people think of death, how could you be committing sins if you're dead? See, you're existing. But the Bible, you know, the prophet in the Old Testament said, your sins have separated you from God. But thank God, how many of you know we've been reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ? And so, God had an original plan. Then man fell. Man sinned against God. But now we're going to read my favorite scripture, verse 4, but God. My favorite phrase in the whole Bible, but God. Read what it says here in the King James, verses 4 through 6. But God. See, we're talking about those who were dead. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together. That means made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to the New Living Translation. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you've been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Jesus told that woman at the well in John chapter 4, it's recorded. He said, if you knew who it was that was asking you to drink, you'd ask him to drink. Because whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. It shall be a well of living water springing up on the inside. Not only do we have life, it's a spring. There's force to it. It's springing up inside. And child of God, we need to learn this, that every one of our needs are met by that well that's on the inside of us, that spring that's on the inside of us. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong, listen to me now, by reaching out and finding help, having someone help you, having someone, you know, to talk to, take it. If you need to take medicine if you need to. That's not a sin. But listen, you got to be looking to the inside. You got to be calling to remembrance that the life of God is in me. And this life, what's it in there to do? Is it in there, as Brother Hagin said, to hitchhike a ride through life? No, it's in there. It's in there to make sure that I've got, what kind of life? The life of God. It's in us. It's a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. And Jesus said, you'll never thirst again. We should be so drinking from that well, so drinking from it, keeping it in our mind that we don't thirst for healing and health. It's ours. We don't thirst for soundness of mind. It's ours. We don't thirst for our emotions to be intact, because they are, because we're partaking of that life. How many of you know that in order to produce fruit, that plant has to have water, has to have that life-giving water together with some other thing. But all of that's been put on the inside of us. We're not going to turn there, but I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 12 that talks about a well of salvation that we have on the inside of us. Glory to God. How many of you have put a bucket down in a well? Any of you done that? How many of you have had the pump water? I know at my grandfather's house out on the farm, if you wanted water, you had to go out to the pump. They had brought it into the house, but they still had the pump. So we were pumping that water, and you know, you pump it for a little bit, then you hear it coming. And you hear it coming. And most of them, if you're a little kid and you do it, but if that first time that water comes, it knocks that cup you got right out of your hand. Just the force of it. Amen? That's what the life of God's doing. It's going to blow you away at first. It's going to come with such force, it just, whoo! You know, what was that? That was a miracle. But after a while, you get to where you know how to, on purpose, draw from that well of water, that well of life that's on the inside of you. But we have to continue to acknowledge that life, continue to acknowledge that good thing that's in us. When we're faced with situations, we immediately go, wait a minute, now the life of God is in me. My answer's in here. Hallelujah. The life of God is working in my body, continually affecting a healing and a cure. It's working in me. I know in talking about this, we're talking about being a partaker of something that we would call it supernatural. This is not of this natural realm. This is a spiritual force. It's of God. It's something supernatural on the inside of us. And every child of God can learn and should learn how to be comfortable with the supernatural. Amen. And know how to operate in the supernatural. To think supernatural thoughts. To have supernatural strength. Amen. To have supernatural finances. Glory to God. Now, of course, you know, we can't just sit there all day and go, I got the life of God, 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 and never do what the Bible says. See, everything that God asks us to do, especially in the New Testament, is a way to either, and this is the other part, remember, let me stop there, I'll get back to that. Remember I said we are to be what? We are to be containers of the life, we are to be partakers of the life, and we are to be distributors of the life. So we ought to get to that place, you know, that we're partaking. Not only that, we start distributing that life, letting it flow out from us. My cup runneth over. How many of you know God is more than enough? Amen. Not just enough. Sometimes, you know, we're happy if we get just enough. Woo. Just enough. No, let's get more than enough. Amen. By the acknowledging of that life that's in us. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Let's talk about this in this area. This life provides healing for our body. And as we partake today of this juice and this bread that represents the blood of Jesus and represents the body of Jesus, we're told to do it, what? In remembrance, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. And you know, as we partake of this, there is a great release, as we do it in faith, there's a great release of that life to us, once again, a refreshing of that life to us. When I partake of that bread, I'm calling to remembrance. I'm acknowledging that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus and by that life that's in me. That I'm, when I take that juice, I'm forgiven. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. But I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm a purchased person. I need to learn to live a purchased life. I've made myself a voluntary servant of God. He loved me, and I love Him. Not because I loved Him, but He loved me first. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Usually if I'm going here, I'll take some time. I'm not going to do it this morning, but I'll take time to go into chapter 3 and talk about that. You remember when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was shown. He'd just seen the backside. Face was showing. They said, put a veil over your face, Moses. We can't look at you because the glory of God, the presence of God was all over him. And they put a veil over his face. And in chapter 3, it says that glory and that ministry was of the law. It only led to death. He said, but we haven't received that type of ministry. We've received the ministry of the Spirit, which is more glorious. In fact, it says, really, that glory that was on Moses cannot even be compared to the glory that is ours in the new covenant. And so, in chapter 4, he's picking that up, you know, and he's still talking about that same thing. And we're just going to start in verse 6 for time's sake here. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now notice, where is it shining? It's on the inside of us. You are the temple of the living God. That presence that hovered around the earthly holy of holies that only one time a year the high priest could go into, and yet that not without blood. And if they went in, they tied a rope around him, because if he went in there was spotted, you know, by sin, they had to pull him out because he died. You didn't dare go in there. That glory, which was not even compared to the glory of the new covenant, is inside you. It's the life of God. He goes on to say, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Oh, there we go back to that dirt bag. I mean, that body, this earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not about me, folks. It's about God. It's His power. It's His excellency. Look what Paul said here. I love this. This doesn't explain life. I don't know what does. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Woo, glory to God. See, just because you have that life in you doesn't mean things aren't going to come against you. Why? The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. When trouble comes, acknowledge your victory and start declaring, I'm not distressed. Hallelujah. When perplexion comes, I'm not despairing. When persecution comes, I know I'm not forsaken. When I'm cast down, I'm not destroyed. Verse 10, always, everybody say always. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now notice this, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. In other words, we're willing to die for the sake of Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Why? That the life of God might reside in there. That the life of God might be manifest in you. In your what? In your mortal body. That means this body, we know, this body's not going to last forever. But we're going to get a new body one day. But while we're here, we don't have to have sickness and disease. Amen. You know, we read Old Testament. We get excited about Psalm 91, and we should. It's a great, great scripture, great promises to the people of God. But yet we have a better covenant established on better promises. We ought to at least live up to the least of Psalm 91. No plague shall come near me. Come near my dwelling. Right? With long life he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. We ought to at least live up to that, right? Hallelujah. But that life working in us. You know, I remember back in April of 1993, I was making a hospital visit there in Springfield, Illinois. And I went to one of the hospitals, and then I was past the other hospital, headed south out of town, back down to where our church was in Auburn, Illinois. And I, for some reason, and it had to be God, but he brought it back to my remembrance. There was somebody else in the hospital at this other hospital. So I had to go in there, and this is before, you know, 93, no cell phones that I knew of. I mean, I think some people had started carrying bag phones. And I used to think, who is so important that they have to have their phone with them at all times? Who is that important person? Sorry. It is I. But I went in and I had to make a collect call to the church office. Thank God they took my call. Our secretary's name was Patsy. She said, yes. I said, who's in this hospital? And they gave me the name. Her name was Judy. So I had to go over there, and I went, I'm looking for the room of Judy. And okay. So I get in the elevator. On the way up in the elevator, I'm just kind of praying, okay, Lord, you know, I don't know what the situation is. I knew she had had a stroke. And so I'm going, what's going on here? And I heard the Lord distinctly say, by the leading of the Lord, quote Psalm 91:16 to her, with long life he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. Ask her if she's satisfied with the length of her life. And then quote Mark chapter 16 that says, believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Ask her if she believes it. And so when I went in, now she's totally paralyzed on her left side. There's a man sitting over here, who I found out in the conversation was her husband. Now, here's how God, now God doesn't cause strokes to happen and all this, but God will arrange your deliverance before the foundation of the world. I'm talking to this guy. I didn't recognize him. I recognized her. She'd been in church, and I knew some of her children because they had come to youth a couple times with some friends. But I knew her. But I didn't recognize him. So I get to talk to him. He goes, and I told him my name. He goes, Gregorich. I said, yeah. He goes, are you related to Bob Gregorich? Well, that's my dad's brother, my uncle. He said, he was my JV basketball coach in 62, 63, 64 somewhere, in a little town called Palmyra, Illinois. Little town, all right? Now they're merged, it's a different school name, but anyway, he was back there. In fact, my uncle eventually became a head coach there, and then they fired him, and the superintendent or the school said, you'll never be a basketball coach, but he's in the Illinois High School Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame now. But because my uncle had been his coach, now this guy's not born again at this time, I didn't know any of that. because I'm the nephew of his coach, now he's ready to listen to whatever I have to say. He's ready. And so I walked over there to the lady, Judy. She's laying there. Now, remember, she's paralyzed on the left side, just her mouth down, her drool coming out. She can't control that. You know, he's wiped, and she can't move her left side. She cannot move. And I said, hi. I said, hi, Judy. I said, the Bible says in Psalm 91, verse 16, with long life he'll satisfy us and show us his salvation. I said, are you satisfied with the length of your life to this point? And she said, all she could get out was, Well, he got the gift of interpretation. He said, she said no. Okay. So then I said, and the Bible says that Jesus said, in my name, believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe if I lay my hands on you in the name of Jesus, you'll recover? She said, He said, she said, yes. I couldn't tell the difference. So I just did that. I said, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands on you. Be healed in Jesus' name. I didn't make a long prayer. That was it. I said, what happened? Oh, the glory filled the room and the angels came down and said, nothing happened. In fact, nothing. I just started talking to him again. We just left Judy in the bed there. We're talking, you know. I said, well, I'll come back tomorrow and check on you. Okay. So I come back the next day. This is Saturday now. That was a Friday. This is Saturday. And I come back the next day, and I'm making the visits. You know, our pastor would happen to be out of town. And so I was, you know, associate pastor, I was making the visits. And so I walk in, and as I walk in, you know, it's one of those deals where they, you know, they have a curtain, but you can't see the bed as you walked in, but you could see, you know, where the windowsill is over there, and there was an air conditioner. Well, he's sitting there with their daughter, who I recognize, and they're laughing and joking. I'm walking, I'm thinking, man, that is rude. Her mother, his wife's sitting there paralyzed on her left side in the bed. So you know this had nothing to do with my faith. I'm going to tell you that right now. I just did what God said. Sometimes you can do what God said and you're going to get answers. You have doubt in your head, the faith come up here. So when I looked, I came around the corner and I noticed the doctor was in there talking to her. So I just kind of moved over and sat down. And then when I looked up, she looked over at me and smiled. She's got her makeup on, her hair's all did, you know, as they say. And she waves at me with her left arm that was paralyzed, you know. And the doctor, bless her heart, the doctor said, well, you know, now here, and had the scan. Here's the scan we took this morning. And you see, there's no sign that you had. Now, here's yesterday's when you came in. There's the stroke right there. In fact, you'd had multiple strokes. There's one from before. And she had a couple other strokes, minor ones before. But this was the most serious. And here they are. But today, our scans show nothing. So bless the heart of the doctor, you know, who didn't want her to have a stroke. She said, so what we think is that you had an emotional event. And it mimicked in your brain the symptoms of a stroke. So anyway, the doctor finally left, thank God. But before the doctor left, she said to her, Judy, now you have, when you had this event, you fell, you broke your left ankle. And it's broken severe. We haven't set it yet. We haven't done anything to it. We're going to have to set it. And you've got about 6 weeks of rehab, you know, to go. It's going to be a tough, tough deal. Okay, and so just so you know, we'll get on that later on. Well, I started saying, well, what happened here? Their husband told me, I said, you know, when I left, you weren't. He goes, in fact, he said, when I left last night, she was worse than that before you prayed for her. So my face really climbed. No, it's good, you know. I'm really knowing this had to be God. And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I heard what you said, and he got right. She said, I'm not satisfied with the length of my life. I just believe if you lay hands on me. She said, when I woke up, I was healed. I was well. So I just put my makeup, asked for my makeup, put all that on. I said, now, Judy, I said, I didn't know anything about your ankle. I said, because now, you know, hey, God, let's do this again. I said, the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe if I lay hands on you, your ankle will be healed? She goes, I do. I didn't need an interpreter this time. I understood. I laid hands on her. What happened? She jumped out of bed. Nothing. Nothing happened. So next day, Sunday, we had Sunday morning service. Sunday night, I was preaching both of them. So we're there and doing praise and worship. All right, this 93. So my brother-in-law Mike, who works here now, he was our praise and worship leader, but Man and I sang on the team. So I'm up there and I'm taking part in praise and worship. And this was Sunday night, in fact. Sunday night. And we had two back. We only didn't like this church that's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We had one double door in the back of the sanctuary. All right. And I'm up there, you know, and I'm singing. All of a sudden, the back door opens. And here comes the husband. And right behind him is Judy walking in a pair of high heels with no limp coming into church on a Sunday night. Totally healed. Totally healed. See, what happened was she's born again. But when I laid hands on her and she had faith, it activated that life once again. And even though we didn't see anything immediate, I don't care. She was healed. So much so that she had no effects of any former stroke, no evidence of anything before. Now, here's the best part of the whole story. The reason that she'd had the stroke and her blood pressure ran up on her, she and her husband, he had come and told her he wants a divorce. But that night he gave his heart to the Lord, and they never did get the divorce. He wasn't even saved. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's keep reading. We're not done here in 2 Corinthians. I want to finish this up real quick. So he says, verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body." That's what happened to Judy. The life of Jesus was made manifest in there. So death works in us. We give our life to God. But life works in you. We having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, "I have believed, therefore have I spoken." We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Notice who's going to get the glory? God is. For which cause we faint not. Though our outward man is perishing, it's getting older, the inward man's renewed day by day. Because that's where that life's there, and it's in our bodies too, and affects the healing and the cure. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not, while we remember not, while we acknowledge not the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So you can't see that life necessarily with these eyes, but you know it's there. You may not feel it, but it's there. For things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. Now, one last scripture, Romans chapter 8, and we'll close this out. The life of God, it's in you. It's in you. Make sure that you are bringing it to remembrance. Make sure you're acknowledging it. Be ever aware of the life of God in you. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells also, Christ from the dead shall quicken. Let me start over. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. The passion here says, yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. God breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. And Jesus, through what he did, through his resurrection, his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his seating at the right hand of God, and by my calling on the name of the Lord, by you confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, that life has been breathed back into you. It's in you. Put your hand over your belly right now. Say, I am a container of the life of God. I am a responder to the life of God. And I am a distributor of the life of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't want to leave here. You're separated from the life of God. But I got good news for you. All of us were there at one time. But the Bible says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we'd be saved. What do we mean by that? You call on him because he said that he has reconciled himself to you. And so we're asking you this morning to be reconciled to God. When you call on him, you become his child, sons or daughter of God, a son or a daughter of God. And that life comes to live on the inside of you. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have that life, but we want to give you an opportunity, like all of us that have that life did at one time. So if you're here this morning and you want me to pray for you, and you want to receive that life for the first time, and you never have before, I want you to raise your hand all over this congregation. You might be here and you say, well, I've walked with God, you know, but I've fallen away, and, you know, I want to rededicate my life to the acknowledgement of the life of God that's in me. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Ushers will help me. Anybody? Also, one more thing. If you're here and you want to receive what we call the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you're born again. You're going to heaven. But you want to receive the power that comes upon us when we receive the mighty Holy Ghost upon us, not just in us, but upon us. I want to pray for you. Anybody on any one of those? Do we have any hands, gentlemen? Do you see anybody? Amen. Just ask your neighbor right now, you're born again, right? Just tell him. You're born again, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Do we have a hand? We got one person with a hand up. Find out if that's what she's saying. She's saying she's born again and wants prayer. Wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on down here, sweetie. This is a. Angela, can you come on up here? Young lady wants to receive the Holy Spirit. It's children's church age. Come on, Dad. Yeah, you come on too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Yeah, come on down. Any one of those things, you might have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, whatever. Just come on down here right now. I'm going to meet you down here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, buddy, come on over here. Hi there. Thank you for coming. Hey, how are you? How are you? Hey, buddy. All right. Anybody else want to come? Praise the Lord. We got some books here. Do we have them for anything for the children back there? We got some. We'll take care of you. Right. You see that lady right over there in that red dress? You look. That's Angela. She does our children's church ministry here, okay? Children's pastor. All right. So she's going to meet you. Yeah, she does. He goes, she does? Yeah, absolutely. What you came to get, I can't give you. Here comes someone else. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, you're never too young to have the life of God in you and have the Spirit of God in you. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming. Hey, buddy. All right. What you all came to get, here comes some more. You hear all those people clapping because they're happy for you. Amen. They wish they'd have done the same thing when they were your age, probably. Amen. Anybody else? Every time I say I can't give you what you came for, somebody else comes up. So, well, let me say it again. What you came for, I can't give you, but I know the one who can. That's God in heaven, right? Amen. So what I want you to do, it's like receiving a gift. So if I did this and here's some books for you, how would you have to get them? What would you have to do to get those books? Anybody? You reach out and get them. That's exactly right. All of you going to get, when you go back, all right, we'll get you something when you go back there. But what I want you to do is reach one hand toward heaven, doesn't matter which one, because that's where our help comes from. And I'm going to pray for each one of you. Then we're going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer. And they can pray with you, make sure you get exactly what you came for. Congregation, stretch your hands out this way. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for each and every one of these, that they receive everything they came for in the mighty name of Jesus. New birth, rededication, no-so experience, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for it. We give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. If you'll turn right over here, all of you, just go that way. Everybody will wait for it. They won't go anywhere. Just go ahead and go. Dad, if you want to go, you're welcome to go. Mom, you want to go with her? Go ahead. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. man. That was awesome. Stretch your hand back that way toward them. Father, I thank you they'll get everything they came for in the mighty name of Jesus. They won't leave here like they came in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whew, if there's ever time to get excited and kick, this is it. Glory. Hallelujah.